So in this Genesis series about how God is bound to the broken, we've already heard quite a few stories, most recently about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, Genesis 15 and 16, and now we're going to take quite a jump ahead to Genesis 28, and we're going to read a story about Jacob. So Genesis 28, I'm going to read verses 10 through 17. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. So our series here at Neyland has us looking at broken people. Jacob, he's a shoo-in for that category. Jacob is a liar and a cheat. He swiped both the birthright and the blessing that was meant for his twin brother Esau from their father Isaac. Genesis says, in fact, that Jacob was a grabber way back in Rebekah's womb. A broken person? Clearly. And yet I have to say there are things in Jacob's stories that I identify with. Jacob wrestles with God. Jacob learns things the hard way. Jacob's stories reflect things about my own story, and maybe yours too. Yet what I love about this particular scene in Jacob's story isn't so much about Jacob, but it's about God. This is a story filled with wonder. And wonder is surely something we could all use more of. You know, sometimes when something becomes a regular part of your life, we so easily take it for granted. We fail to wonder at it anymore. For example, the ability to read. When was the last time you were amazed at the fact that your eyes see simple line and dot symbols on a page, and those symbols get translated into words in your left occipital temporal cortex? And from those words, your brain, through complex neurological processes, draws information and meaning. And then your brain formulates those thoughts into some understanding. I thought about that recently when I read an article written by the author Debbie Thomas, and she describes how she learned to read. She was 3 years old when her immigrant mother emptied out a closet in their tiny Boston apartment, the only place they could spare, and installed a little table and two chairs that she had found at a flea market. Not able to afford any teaching materials, her mother would cut words and pictures out of magazines and greeting cards and scotch tape them to the closet wall. Debbie remembers her mother taking great care to arrange those scraps. Every morning she would sit at the table with her mother, surrounded by her mother's word and picture tapestry. Mom would point, and Debbie would read, matching pictures to letters, symbols to meaning, kitten, puppy, horse. As soon as she would master one set of images and letters, Mom would replace them all with new ones, often at night, to be discovered in the morning. The author said, "I remember feeling as if the walls were alive, an organic, ever-changing picture book. Fence, table, girl, boy, tree." As my skills improved, she taught me the words she considered most important and more beautiful than any others, says Thomas. "In the beginning, God. The Lord is my shepherd. For God so loved the world. And the Word became flesh." What Debbie's mother was doing was instilling in her daughter a sense of wonder. She was condescending to her level of understanding by giving her tiny, beautiful glimpses of a bigger world, a grander reality. John Calvin taught that God does something like that for us. God accommodates to our small capacity for understanding by giving us glimpses of revelation in God's Word and in the world around us. Sometimes, whether we're comfortable with this idea or not, God uses visions and dreams to condescend to us. You know, both the Old and New Testament contain many such events. So for just a few minutes this morning, I invite you to consider with me some of the wonders of Jacob's dream. The first thing to notice in our story is Jacob's discovery that he lives in a world he did not make and cannot control. When Jacob, exhausted from all his conniving and running and striving, places his tired head down on that stone and falls asleep and sees the ladder with the angels both going up toward heaven and down toward earth, the voice in the dream makes clear to him who's actually in charge. At the top of the ladder stood the Lord. And in God's brief communication to Jacob, God declares no less than 7 or 8 things about who God is and what God will do. "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you the land on which you're lying. I am with you. I will watch over you. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised." So who's writing and directing and is the main actor in the unfolding story of Jacob's life? Clearly, it's not Jacob, despite what he imagines. I know all too well that one of the hardest things to come to terms with in life is that I am not in charge. I don't get to make the rules for this world. I am not the center of the story, even though I spend far too much time imagining that I am. My colleague at LaGrave, Peter Yonker, once had us think about our first response when someone tags us in a picture on social media. What do? Well, we center ourselves and we expand the photo so we can see how we look. Maybe even how we look in comparison to others. We might even be thinking about what we need to do to work on ourselves so we can improve, so that we can control what others think of us. Honestly, folks, there are countless ways beyond social media where we center ourselves in our own minds and with our time and by our futile attempts at control. Well, the remedy, perhaps, is to stand with Job in humble awe and repentance and confess. No, I was not there when you laid the foundation of the earth, when you placed its cornerstone, when the morning stars sang together and the heavenly beings shouted for joy. No, it is you, God, who gave the horse its might and clothed its neck with mane. It's not by my wisdom, but yours. You have commanded the morning since our days began and caused the dawn to know its place. It's you. You are God, and I am not. Like Jacob, we forget that. That we live in a world not of our own making. But Jacob, in his dream, was given the gift of reorientation, of seeing again the world as it really is, with God, the only one capable of sustaining the world as its creator, poised at attention, at the helm, with Jacob and Jacob's ladder at his feet. That vision calls to us as well. The author and preacher Craig Barnes put it this way: when I wake up in the morning, I can jump in the shower, grab a cup of coffee, rush off to work to be productive. Inevitably, that will destine me to a day of running. Like Jacob, I will either be running to make something happen or running away because it didn't happen as it was supposed to. But if sometime in the morning I become still with prayer and the Word of God, then it will occur to me that all of the important things have already been accomplished today. The sun came up, and the earth stayed on its axis without any help from me. The first wonder of Jacob's dream is the wonder that you and I live and breathe and have our being in a world not of our own making. The second wonder is that the ladder is not there for Jacob to climb. In fact, it actually isn't Jacob's ladder at all. The second wonder is that God extends God's ladder down to a scoundrel like Jacob. The second wonder is the wonder of God's grace. You see, up until now, Jacob imagined that if he could climb the ladder of birthrights and family privileges and success than he himself could pull down a blessing from heaven. But it doesn't work that way. It's not how blessing comes to us. The blessing of heaven is not something we strive for. It is a gift to be received. And it is extended down to us who have not earned it, who do not deserve it. It reaches down even to scoundrels and strivers like Jacob. And like me. And like you. So we don't know for sure exactly what that ladder in Jacob's dream looked like. Some scholars think it may have looked more like a scaled pyramid, which in the ancient Middle East sometimes represented making one's way up to the gods, up to heaven. I've read that some ancient peoples constructed their homes by driving a great stake into the ground, pointing up toward heaven, and then building their home around it, around that center pole. That pole symbolized the connection between heaven and earth. It was their axis mundi. When disasters would strike, they rushed to that center pole where heaven and earth were held together. Again, Craig Barnes, in his book, Hustling God, proposes that for followers of Jesus, the empty cross is that great center pole, the great ladder that ties heaven to earth. When disaster strikes, it is the cross of Christ that holds us and that holds all things together. In fact, the word disaster literally means away from the heavens, disaster. So when you've lost your job, or when the lab report comes back with bad news, or when the reality that you are not in control breaks your heart or shakes your foundation, it feels like earth has moved away from heaven. It is a disaster. What's your instinct when that happens? To work harder, to grab more, to clamor for more security? Friends, may it be to go back to the real center of the universe, to go back to God's ladder, not the one you climb up, but the one God extends down to you. Go back to the empty cross, where you will find the wonder of a risen Savior waiting for you, waiting for every single broken person with grace and love beyond our imagining. When Jacob wakes from his dream, he is filled with awe. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Friends, at Neyland, truly it is a wonder. It is a wonder to awake to a world we did not make and to receive a salvation we did not earn. And I invite you to notice one more wonder in this text, the wonder of God's presence here and now. Surely God is with us, even when we know it not. The house of heaven, the house of God, the gate of heaven, here in the middle of us this morning. You know, sometimes it's not that hard to imagine that. in this beautifully renovated, light-filled sanctuary, especially when our hearts join together in song. This is liminal space. The gate of heaven feels near. But here's something important. As liminal and holy as these times of gathered worship are, they are not the only or even the primary place of God's presence. Carving pumpkins on Neyland's lower level or out in the parking lot can be holy ground because God likes to show up in those places too. The gate of heaven, the wonder of God's presence, can be in any place. In hospital rooms, in refugee camps, in addiction recovery centers, in prisons, in homeless shelters, in your neighborhood, in kitchens, in classrooms, in work cubicles, in museums and galleries and parks and grocery stores, in places you least expect it. The wonder of it all is that God reaches down and opens the gate of heaven to us, right where we are. And with grace sufficient to cover all of our selfish strivings, God extends God's great love to us in Jesus. May the wonder of it all fill you with hope and faith and gratitude as we keep believing and serving and proclaiming together the goodness of the God who is bound to the broken and who is with us always. Thanks be to God. Amen.